So let's give a welcome here. We have Tim Roberts and Brent White. Title of the speech is Corporate Espionage, Gathering Actionable Intelligence via Covert Operations. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
All right, thanks everybody for coming out. First of all, I think make sure there weren't any issues or anything. I did have a chair I was going to stand in, but it's been taken. So unfortunately, just try and peek over the shoulder in front of you.
Also, if you got to go to the restroom next year, we'll have a vendor booth for diapers. So men.
Yeah, he's not nervous. He just has to pee really bad. So let's get started. So again, corporate espionage, gathering actionable intelligence via covert operations. That's a big title. What the hell does it mean? Let's find out. So if an operative or a spy were in the process of gathering information on the targets, what steps would they take to gather information without being noticed? It's the mindset that's required to proceed with your mission. So that's sort of what we're going to talk about today. Human interaction is often impossible to avoid. So what can you do to make the most out of it and still seem natural without setting off intuition alarms? Unfortunately, we were asked to omit a few things from our talk and put a disclaimer in. So this is DEF CON. If you're not aware that, just don't be stupid with things you learn, then you'll be fine.
What is the purpose? It's to help you think outside of traditional tactics in order to make the most out of your red team opportunity without your target even knowing it. Those of you that are penetration testers, perhaps you've been on red team assessments or social engineering engagements or even physical security engagements. All of these cover that. Those that aren't, here's something new that you get to learn, and here's a corporate term you get to throw around. So.
Corporate espionage, if you're not familiar with the term, it's the practice of spying or utilizing spies to get, secret information about, as a target. It's usually state-backed or it can be backed by other corporations, depending on the scale.
What do you mean covert operation? A planned intelligence operation intended to conceal the identity of, or permit plausible denial by the sponsor. You guys, before you do any of this stuff, make sure you have your get-out-of-jail-free card or your letter of authorization. Again, if you don't know what that is, you probably shouldn't be doing this stuff inside of a corporate building.
Actionable intelligence, that's any sort of intelligence that you have gathered while, looking at your target that you can actually, it's pretty obvious, you can actually take action upon and, penetrate further. So we're going to start off, we're going to talk about some non-conventional gear that you can use for these covert operations for red teaming. So we'll go into the gear.
In addition to conventional gear.
In addition, yeah. So Hack 5, Darren, he said he was going to try. I don't know, Darren, if you're in here, thank you so much for some of the gear that you've given us to play with. The Wi-Fi Pineapple, if you're not familiar with it, definitely check that out. It's a fun device. It's a great drop. You can make you can get different battery packs. You can drop this device near your target on the roof if you're able to get access. You can keep it in your bag while you're walking around. Some of you might have seen people walking around with antennas sticking out of their backpacks. Chances are they had a pineapple or a similar device. It says occupy for a few hours. So again, it's a drop. You want to be able to put this somewhere where it can be in that location for a few hours to do the most data gathering through, through Wi-Fi or other means such as 3G, 4G, LTE, and so on.
And once we're finished with our talk, we've got a few of the items up here, but this is the Mark 5. Those that aren't familiar with it, it's the new release by Hack 5. Up here is the Mark 4. That's up there. So good little devices for rogue APs and several other things.
And again, just a quick story on the pineapple. If you're not familiar with it, something that I may or may not have done with this was go to a coffee shop spoofed the network that everyone was connected to, saying, okay, this my Wi-Fi pineapple is the network that you trust. Send the auth packets. When they go to reconnect, they actually connect to my pineapple. And then, like I said, maybe not, a few seconds later, you could hear the Rick Astley Never Gonna Give You Up playing through the other people's computers because of DNS spoofing, Rick Roll attack. So it's just some fun stuff you can do.
Nick, the high gain antennas, I'm sure most of you guys are familiar with the old Cantenna. I still use this on my red team engagements. A good story about this is we were doing a red team assessment for this company. We got a hotel right across the street from it, and we were able to plant a rogue AP into the sixth floor at a cubicle, and I was able to go to the hotel parking lot inside of our shady little rental car and point it up there and connect to that rogue AP. From there, we were able to compromise a few things from that. So. Additional rogue access points, wireless router. You guys, you can alter that to use that for your rogue AP if you have an extra router sitting around. If you don't have access to that, there are other devices out there like the Pwn plug, Fresh.
Yeah, by Pony Express, they make those.
And then also again the pineapple.
Malicious payloads on multimedia. This is one of my favorite techniques because. Say, for example, you put a payload on a CD, you drop it in the parking lot, somebody looks down and sees a CD laying there that says 2013 spring break or 2012 financials or tax returns. Somebody's going to say, oh, I'm nosy, let's see what that is. Put it in there, it automatically runs the payload or whatever method you have, and then that's some interpreter shell, FTP, whatever you have set up. So that's a quick way. And it says, again, this is something that you want to be found, so sort of a reverse dead drop. There's several different ways you can do that, USB drives. You can find the stupid USB drives that look, they look like the cute little green frogs or, any of the silly stuff that they make for USB drives. Get a few of those, put payloads on them, drop them around, and y'all be surprised if you don't get some sort of a shell from someone, oh, cute frog, I'm gonna give that to my boss, whatever.
Again, doing some more name dropping here, but the Pwn plug, as you can see on there, it's a power strip. It's very non-discreet. It's easy to use if you do get access anywhere to plug it in. But there's several different, if you guys check out the vendors, there's several different things out there, things online and stuff you can check out in comparison to these kind of non-discrete drops.
And, as we mentioned, part of this talk is covert operations. So in order to get a gigantic brick like that in, or how in the world am I supposed to put this inside of a corporation or wherever you are, legally entitled to test against? Dress up as the maintenance man if they have, garden company or something that's doing lawn work. Check out what they're wearing. Run by Goodwill. Do something similar. Get in that way. We'll kind of get into some more of those tactics later on, but just a little side note to how you would get a gigantic power strip into a company. Kind of adding on to that, Hack 5, they make the rubber ducky, which is, it's actually inside a concealable normal USB drive, or you can actually take the board out of this. And something fun that we like to do, why is there a picture of a Christmas tree? Well, actually inside of that Christmas tree was the rubber ducky with multiple payloads on that. So you go to the office, around Christmas time, hey, we're a new computer supply company here in town. We really like your business. Here's our cards. And by the way, here's a few stupid little USB Christmas trees that everyone in your office is going to eventually plug up. Thank you.
Actually, I have a story about that. We were doing an assessment at my previous job, and we got a nice gaming keyboard, and we had put the rubber ducky inside of the gaming keyboard. We sent it to them, and one of the network admins plugged it in. Well, their CISO walked by and was like, hey, that's a really nice keyboard. Where'd you get that? Oh, they gave it to us for free. And he's like, yoink. So the CISO took it, hooked it up to his system, and voila.
Yeah, they actually argued about whose it was next. Yeah. So it made its way around.
So make sure, I mean, Christmas trees, not everybody wants to plug that up, but if it's something nice, like a wireless mouse or a gaming keyboard or something.
And it is worth spending the extra money for, you know, an expensive keyboard or something like that. So.
Physical key logger. There's several of these floating around, manufacturers for these. When you do this, you want to make sure it's one that's non-detectable by AV. Some clients do not allow these, while others don't care. They're just like, do whatever. But these are handy. In addition to when you gain access to the facility, just plug this in wherever and then come back later. The problem with these and some of the drop zones is that you do have to come back and get it. And you do risk losing that. So some people do, if they identify it, they may just take it and pocket it, while others may report it, and then you just compromise your entire project. So,
yeah, just kind of pay attention, fill out the environment, you know, just be smart about it. It might take a little while. I mean, there's definitely going to be mistakes along the way, but the more you do it, the more you'll kind of, you know, just the intuition of, okay, if I put a key logger here, this is going to be stupid and somebody's going to report it. Let's try something else. Then there will be those cases where, okay, no one here pays attention to anything. I'm going to put a key logger on everything, and you can get away with it. So,
and a lot of these devices too. Many of these can be used if you've got like a tiger team set up where you have specialists on your team. Whereas, you know, here's your networking guy, here's your social engineering guy, here's your whatever. The social engineering guy can take this stuff if you don't know how to set it up. You know, just have the rest of your team set it up, and you can just take, and they're really easy to install. Mm-hmm. You just got to plug, you're kind of the point man in Spycraft, right?
So we're going to continue with more covert gear. It's an awesome picture that Tim made with my wonderful face in the middle of it, MacGyver. So this section
is real hair, though.
Yeah, that's my real hair. I have a wig on right now. the next section is actually what we were talking about earlier, just some non-conventional methods, some more old school ways to maintain physical access. Duct tape, you can use duct tape for everything. Kneaded erasers, this is one of my kind of personal favorites. You see the picture of the panic bar on the doors, they're actually even at the hotel here. Most places, once the door is closed, the sensor is actually showing the door is closed. If you prop it open, it's going to potentially set off an alarm if they have a time-based alarm on that. So something that I like to do is the little square art erasers. I think they're a quarter a piece. You can get those, and you can actually knead them into whatever shape that you want. So you just get one of those. You go by the door. You drop something. While you're bending down to pick it up, you have the eraser in hand and you're sort of jamming it in the space where the lock goes in. So now when the door closes, it's not locked, but it's still closed, and you can get access from the other side or, you know, continued access later.
In addition to these too, you'll find that a lot of the motion sensors, so the motion sensor will be on the opposite side of the door where you have to badge in or whatever. Some of these motion sensors nowadays, used to you could put like a handkerchief on a coat hanger, wave it under there, whatever. Nowadays they're heat activated, so just get a hand warmer or a foot warmer, put that instead of the handkerchief, and that works great.
Yep, slide it under the door, move it around, wait a few seconds, and you're in. Kind of adding to that, the Mylar balloon. Why would you need a Mylar balloon for Red Team? Well, you have a flat Mylar balloon, very narrow door clearing. So you want to put the Mylar balloon on the floor. You want to have some more helium in another balloon, particularly like latex or something. So once you have the Mylar balloon flat, you convert the helium from the latex into the Mylar with the string, let it float up on the other side of the door, and it's going to trigger the sensor for you. It's kind of silly, and you want to be careful. Like, why is that random guy have a
balloon? Why are you blowing
balloon?
That balloon up, man?
Yeah. So why do you have a balloon going into a server
room?
It's
a party, right?
Yeah. Everyone loves to freeze their butt off and have a party. So and the last one, again, this is pretty tricky. Some people might not allow this.
Destroying.
Yeah, but with the laser, and you can get the Arctic laser, which is very powerful. It can actually... You know, keep talking about balloons, but you can actually pop balloons with this laser. It's so powerful. Why would you need that? Well, if you're actually able to do a real team, a real scenario test, you can go in and most closed caption television, you can actually pop the crystal on the TV by pointing the laser at it just for a second. The camera doesn't work, and now you're in and out with whatever. So, again,
I use it on my cat when he plays around, just trying to chase the laser.
That's
funnier than it was.
Nobody likes to burn cats.
That's true. Next is fake badges. You guys, most of you guys probably heard of cloning RFID badges. That is, if you're not so technical, all you need is a blank RFID badge. A story is we were doing a red team assessment. We saw some people out in the smoking area during a smoke break, which is one of the best places to go. Put on some sunglasses, drive over, and be like, my partner was like, hey, where's the nearest gas station? And I was looking at their badge the whole time, and it was a plain white badge. Well, I had my company badge on me, so we just went by Office Max, got some adhesive printer paper. I went home on a Photoshop, found a white wall. We took pictures of each other. And my name is Kevin Jobson, and I work for this company because this badge looks exactly like yours, and you don't pay attention to the sound that the proximity reader makes or if it's a green light or a red light. So going inside of the facility was really easy when you do it at the end of the work shift, during lunchtime or anything like that. You can piggyback, tailgate, you're on your phone, you're talking, you're busy, you're carrying a box of whatever. But if you've got this, people don't really ask questions, right? If you got this, people don't ask questions either. So perhaps you don't have access to a printer or you don't have Photoshop skills. All you need is not the Snap Fitness thing, but all you need is a white, plain badge. You're just flipping the badge over. Because a lot of times the badge moves as you're walking throughout the day and stuff. And so people, again, often don't pay attention to that. They just look down that you have your badge.
You could probably even tape a few business cards together if you're in a pinch. Hang it off your belt with something. People say, oh, that's a badge. Let's let the guy in. He's got his hands full. We don't want to be an ass. So let's help him out. So,
I got another story about the badge real quick. I was doing another assessment. And as I was in, we had been in there for a couple days. We had already owned the company. We're like, hey, let's go in there and see if any of these guys pay attention because they said their security awareness is heightened and so on. It was after their annual security awareness training. Went in, walking around. I was in a bright green shirt. I had this badge on. I walked around forever taking pictures of stuff, IPs that are printed on printers and things like that. Well, eventually, somebody finally went up and was like, hey, can I help you? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm new. I'm looking for, and I dropped a name off of a parking spot. So if you go, sometimes names are printed on the parking spot for executives or directors. So if you memorize those names, oh, yeah, I just had lunch with so-and-so. I'm new. I've only been here a couple days. Oh, okay. Well, his office isn't up here. Oh, well, I wasn't sure. I was just wandering around checking out the facility. Oh, well, his office is in the server room. Oh, where's the server room? It's this way.
Mind you, they have armed guards for their server room at this particular facility.
So an armed guard comes up, and he's like, is there a problem? Well, who vouches for me? But this supervisor of all these data entry people, oh, yeah, he's new. That's Kevin. They didn't even look at my name or anything. The cards, what are you doing up here? Oh, he's looking for so-and-so. I didn't even have to say anything. He's looking for so-and-so in the server room. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, we just had lunch. I got here before he did. I just kind of came in. He's like, okay, I'll take you down there. We go down there. As we're going down there, I'm sweating bullets. Oh, crap. So as we're going down there, the supervisor says, you probably don't have access to this yet either, do you? I was like, no, I don't know. I can try. Obviously, I don't have access. I badge in. I've only been here a couple days. I guess I don't have access yet. Security guard, I'll get it for you. I walk into the server room. There's some guys in there. They're looking at me, but I'll just pretend I own the place, right? Walk over to the guy's desk, put my business card down. Walk out. They got so mad. But
it's a real business card, pretty much saying you're pwned. We got you. Game
but
over.
Chris was talking about, you know, establishing that rapport and stuff like that. It's really important. You know, you're just friendly, having conversation. Don't be nervous. Be nice. Have a smile, and people are willing to help you out or let you into server rooms with a gun.
Yeah. Lockpick set, pretty obvious what that might be used for. But please, I see a lot of mistakes from people thinking, hey, I bought a lockpick set. I'm going to go use it on this assessment. Well, you don't practice. You get to the assessment. You get caught, you know, 25 minutes later at the same lock. What are you doing trying to get into this room? If you get this, make sure you designate time to practice, or it's completely worthless and could potentially compromise the entire operation.
Next, we have the bump keys. These are quick and dirty. They don't take as much skill, but they do work. A lot of times, these facilities, their wiring closets especially, use some old school cores, and they're pretty easy to do that. Typically, bump keys are broken up into residential, commercial, and secure zones. So when you guys check those out, make sure you you have a few here to play around with. But again, bump keys could also break the core or mess up the core, right? So you want to make sure if you are a penetration tester, if you're doing this legitimately, that you keep that in mind. Yeah. Am I okay to break this stuff if I accidentally break the key off in there? Is there going to be a problem? You want to keep the client's needs in mind.
Yeah.
If
make
you're
sure
doing
you're
this illegally, who cares,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Just make sure you can run fast, right?
Right.
Hidden cameras. Again, this is something that was almost asked of us to take out as well, but being it's DEF CON, don't be stupid, know the laws. Hidden cameras, so when you are actually going around, let's say you've looked at Google Maps, you know the layout of the building, what's around it. Now I actually want to go case, you want to go see when they come in and out, you know, things like that. That's actually a very good practice to sort of do the surveillance with the camera. If you've got a big area and you've got some sort of a hidden camera or a camera down in a bag, practice with it. Make sure you know where you're shooting. Just walk in. It's okay to look like the lost puppy. You know, just kind of wandering, like looking around. That way, when you go back and you review the footage, you can say, okay, no, the elevators are over here. I know the conference rooms that way. Walk as far as they'll let you walk. You'll get away with a lot of stuff. And this is also good for getting pictures of employee badges or any sort of access panels that they might have, biometric panels or anything that they might have, so you can go study to see how to bypass those later. Video camera, if you want to sit across the street with the video camera and record who's coming in and out for a while, that's cool, but don't be stupid about it. Don't sit across the street on a bench like this for, you know, hours at a time. Someone will ask questions. So wrap it around a newspaper, put it in a bag, get a small camera, something like that. Another thing, you know, don't be obvious. If you have a camera and you're driving around, a few quick things you can do is you can put the camera behind your back. You know, you got the seat here, put the camera here, lean forward a little bit where it's shooting out. You might have to lean the seat up a little bit so you don't have the door frame in the way. That's a quick way. If you have a hoodie, you can sort of rest it in the back of the hoodie. But don't drive by, you know, driving, like doing this. That's stupid. So.
In addition to that, too, I mean, obviously smartphones and a lot of mobile devices have cameras on them. Those that don't know, you can also use your headphones to take pictures, so you don't have to sit there and hold it up and click the button. You can just hold it here like you're texting somebody or whatever, changing songs, and you can push the volume button on most devices to take a photo. A little more discreet.
Yeah, and I've had someone suggest, too, well, why don't you just put it in your pocket and record that way? That's going to work if you're familiar with the shirt. If it's a new shirt or it droops too much, you could have it here, but you're actually filming the ground. So just, you know, take some time to plan ahead, do some practicing if you're going to do something like that. But it is a good tactic if you have practiced it. Here's a few lists of do's and don'ts. Tim, you want to do
yeah,
the don'ts?
I will do the don'ts. All right, don't be this guy. He's creepy looking, right?
And we're done.
Don't be obvious. Be mindful of how you carry yourself. I always tell everybody getting into social engineering and stuff that improv classes are great. Taking some local community improv classes, doing vignettes, stuff like that. So you're used to speaking on the fly. You're used to just walking around. Because if you're not used to that, obviously you're going to be like... And people are going to notice who's this guy that's kind of, you know, creeping around here.
And yeah, who's the super nervous guy that has peed his pants in our lobby?
I did that once. No, I didn't. Another thing, when you're looking at some of these facilities, you're driving around, hey, where's your server room? Is it in that building or that building? You can look, you can see the power generators. That's probably got a few systems in there, right? So when you do go in there, make sure that they've got a desk or something with a security guard, that you're able to either be on your phone, make sure the security guard's occupied by maybe the employee that's talking to them or a florist or whatever that's delivering some flowers, and you can just walk on past them a little easier. Tailgate, piggybacking into the area, again, just walking back there, don't mind me, carrying boxes. The boxes don't even have to be full of anything. You can just have some empty boxes, pretend they're heavy, oh, and you're trying to catch the door with your butt, somebody catches it for you and helps you out, oh, let me get that for you. People are very helpful.
Yeah, and so to kind of add on that, don't just walk up to the door and just stand there and knock, like wait for someone to let you in. Chances are they're going to say, who are you? Why can't you get in?
Before even approaching the door, I would recommend also being at a distance until you start seeing somebody walking up, and then start walking. Don't run up behind them, then they'll think you're jumping them, right? But make sure that you're aware of that. Don't park in the Target's parking lot. I was mentioning the assessment before where we got the hotel next to the building. We just parked there and we walked over. Why don't you want to park there? Because they may have parking passes that you weren't able to duplicate. Several other reasons. When you rent a car, you also want to make sure that you're not just using one vehicle. If you're scoping out the place, if you've got two consultants or you've got a couple people, make sure you use a couple vehicles. Don't splurge on a Dodge Charger driving around, scoping out the building or something like that. Go with something basic and common like a Camry or whatever. It's really important to keep that in mind, because I've known people to be compromised just because they didn't have a parking spot and they found, hey, did you park out there? Oh, do you work here? And it's ruined.
And can I just do a quick change of pace? My three-year-old is at home and she's upset because she couldn't be here. And so I said, well, let me see if I can, kind of show you what I'm doing so you could see why you couldn't come in Vegas. So is everybody okay if I just take a quick picture just to kind of send to her? I promise this won't be on social media or anything. Is everybody cool with me doing that really quick? Okay, cool. All right.
Everybody look really interested.
Yeah, everybody flip me off. She's only three, okay? All right, ready? One, two, three.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Again, ask direct Target-specific questions while BSing with people on their smoke break. If you're over there, don't be like, hey, where's your server room?
That's dumb.
You know, can I see your badge, or who's your boss?
Yeah.
What's
the name of your database?
So be mindful of that. The best thing is just kind of keep quiet sometimes and just listen, right? You don't even have to say anything. But if you do ask, be very vague. Don't sit in your van or car at night lit up by your laptop. At a previous job, there was a liquor store. I used to do some blue team stuff, and they kept getting compromised like for a couple days. And they're like, "What's going on?" There was a guy sitting out in his car at night, lit up with his laptop, and just hacking away at his alpha sitting on the car. Woo! It's really important that turn down maybe the brightness on it, or get some tinted windows, or be somewhere obscured from view.
He was probably drunk.
Probably. Really wanted that alcohol. again, driving around the parking lot over and over, consider renting two common vehicles.
Yep. All right, so I will do the do's. That sounds kind of weird. Do-do. Hanging around employee smoking areas, Tim mentioned. You always want to find that area. You want to go hang out, make friends. Something you want to do is just keep your mouth shut for a while. Just chill out, even if you're not talking to anyone directly. Have your red team partner, you guys are having your own conversation. Make up something about, can you believe that they're doing this with the new dev team? Like, you're griping about work just like everyone else is doing. And then just stop and listen. It's amazing, even credentials that you can hear from people just griping about their jobs. Notice names and titles on parking spots. Hopefully you've done your open source intelligence before you even show up to this company. But if Again, if you just need a quick refresher, check out the parking lots. They usually have reserved spots for names. That's good for name dropping. Pay attention to the target. And something you can do if you have the time is actually become a client of the person. Not a lot of people really do this, but you know, just take the time, put in the money to actually become a client, because then you're going to actually probably get credentials to their web application. You're going to learn the shop talk. You're going to know the business. So when you do go in and it's imminent that you're going to have that interaction with people, you're going to know what to say. They're going to believe you more. And, you know, chances it's going to be a lot more successful. It's a lot better chances of that.
Gamble, get lucky. These are some things that you can do just out of luck, lost and found. Hey, I'm sorry, I dropped my USB. I've got a lot. I don't really remember what it looks like, but it's important or whatever. And they may have something in lost and found. They may have a thumb drive or whatever.
They pull out the shoebox. Well, which one's yours? Oh, it's that one. That's I forgot what it looked like. Thanks. So there's your free USB drive with data.
The receptionists walk through the front door and have them buzz you in. I've done this a few different times where you just dress like everybody else. You have your fake badge. You walk through the front part. You go to badge or you've got your hands full again. And the receptionists will usually have a little buzzer. They can buzz and let you through the proximity reader without even having to badge in. Dumpster diving, it's public domain unless it's locked, getting behind a locked door or fence, then it's trespassing. So again, make sure you have that. Dumpster diving is old school. I'm sure all of you guys are familiar with that term, but it's still relevant.
Has anybody in here actually went dumpster diving before?
Disgusting.
Isn't it incredible, for how gross it is, first of all, but isn't it incredible just the amount of things you can find just out of that? I mean, you have third-party vendors that you could potentially pose as to gain access.
Half-eaten cheeseburgers.
Yeah, those are delicious. And then you also have Post-its, you know, with usernames and passwords, just everything. It's not really something that you don't get excited about jumping in the dumpster, but it's something that can really have a good payoff.
And if you dress homeless, that is another old-school guys. You just pretend you're homeless. Grow a beard for a few weeks and go out there, get dirty, and nobody's going to pay attention to that guy. I don't get away from you, man. Go home.
Yeah.
They're not going to get close to you, probably, right? If you stink and you're full of dirt.
Yep. That way, and to play on that, if their security team actually does come down, hey, someone is on our property, they're in our dumpster, you get caught, well, what do? You play the part of the psycho, crazy homeless guy. You get up and run away, and they say, oh, it's just a homeless guy. That way, the security team isn't notified, oh, there's an assessment going on because this guy just showed me, you know, his scope, his get out of jail free card. So that's a way, if it is a large client and you don't want to screw it up, that is potentially a way to maintain the operation without it being given away.
And no offense to any homeless guys.
Yeah, homeless people, we're sorry.
Women.
Love you. Getting lucky. Okay, so lie. Again, we've talked about posing as someone that you are not. So you go in and say, hey, we are this. I know this sounds terrible, saying you're a charity, because God bless charities. They do great things. But, you know, going, we're with this charity. We're trying to get our network set up. Yeah, we've got something. So they give you a server. Okay, it was an old domain controller. Chances are they haven't really wiped anything. You take it back, check it out. You've got their settings, all that stuff.
Or a printer.
Yeah.
Still, people don't wipe the drives from printers or degauss them. And if they do, they usually just do one swipe over it. So printers, fax machine, those all-in-ones that have the hard drive still in it, those are always a nice little treasure trove.
And creep, this is more open source intelligence. Google, Shodan Network, several things that you can do to gather names, information, LinkedIn, Facebook, etc. Sort of scope out who's who, learn who they are. That way, if you are able to contact them, you can talk about, we went to college together, or, how are your kids? Are the soccer team doing good? You know, whatever it is. That's why we call it creepy, because it's very creepy. But, you know, then again, it's great for your assessment.
And in addition to that, just another war story for you guys. We were doing some OS int, and LinkedIn, if you don't have the premium account or whatever it is, you can't really see the full names of a lot of employees and stuff. Well, if the corporation, its naming conventions for their usernames are their first name, last initial, well, you have a bunch of usernames off of LinkedIn's employees page because that's what they show, first name, last initial, right? So that's some handy stuff just to kind of keep in mind about being a creeper.
Yeah, that's worked out well for a lot of phishing engagements and things too. We're kind of coming towards the end here, but just to sort of close out, again, like we've mentioned, just make sure your backstory checks out. You know, who are you when someone asks? You want to give an intelligent response. You don't want to just, I don't know, and then run away. That's not good. So just know who you are, what you're doing there, know where you're going. Again, these are all things that you can accomplish through open source intelligence. The intelligence gathering, you know, through the cameras or other methods that we've talked about. And just really get your story down and just be confident and know what you're doing while you're there.
Just to add to that, just make sure you're not sounding like you're reading from a script. You're not you're not somebody on the phone like for a telemarketing where you're reading from a screen. People are a lot more comfortable when you're actually just talking to them, engaging in conversation. Again, doing some improv or anything like that, even with your coworkers or your buddies or if you don't have time to do an acting class or something, it's going to really help you out.
Even, you know, not just the smoke break thing, but just anywhere. If you go to a bar that's close by where the employees work, or even just hanging out in front of the building or anywhere, just really listen. Because like I talked about, most people aren't happy with their jobs. They will gripe about it, and you will hear it if you are able just to, you know, just take some time and just really just pay attention. They will give you pretty much everything that you want to know just from listening. So... again, thank you guys for listening to our talk. We are available for questions after. Maybe we can tell you some of the things that we had to leave out if you're interested. If not, thank you so much. And
thank you, guys.